you. This is Andrew Phipps, and I certainly appreciate your joining us for the Faith, Family, and Freedom program today. I don't think that I've ever seen a time when the need of speaking truth to error would be more needed than it is today. Pat Buchanan, in a book that he wrote that was titled The Death of the West, said, in half a lifetime, many Americans have seen their God dethroned, their values deserted, their heroes defiled, and themselves deemed as bigots and extremists for holding on to beliefs that Americans have held for generations. You know, the culture in which I grew up was different, completely different. I mean, grass was something we mowed. AIDS worked in the people's, in the principal's office. Coke was something we drank. And coming out of the closet meant we'd been playing hide-and-go-seek. So we have a different culture today. Unfortunately, it's a culture that seemingly promotes the abnormal, the abhorrent. If it makes sense to them that deem this new way of thinking, they don't feel it's applicable. Wokeism, cancel culture, and all the new isms. The trend is to think communistic or socialistic, which means at its core principles, there is no God. I mean, they're atheistic in philosophy. Karl Marx, who was quite a reject in many respects, a drunk, a man that neglected his own family, and he was given to these ideas that somehow radicalism of turning the proletariat, the workers, to overthrow the bourgeoisie. And through his book, The Communist Manifesto, we're seeing today on college campuses around America, students and organizers, protesters that are saying America is not an exceptional country. America is to blame. America ought to be considered the oppressor. People that are of faith, obviously, they don't have very much intelligence. And if you believe in right and wrong, if you believe in monogamous marriage, if you believe in civility, if you believe in good, wholesome morals, if you believe in proper etiquette in so many areas, it's rejected. So my goal, my responsibility is great, and so is yours. And that is to do what we can do to speak against these untruths, stand for the Bible, the Word of God, do what we can while we can, because the time may come when we can't.
January of last year, but then COVID came and we quit singing. And I told the guys before we hired Scott, I said, I just don't think he's a good hire. Because I knew the history. See, I know the history of these folks. And Scott had sang with Freedom Quartet just before they disbanded. And he was with the Anchorman just before they disbanded. Then he joined us and the whole country shut down.
Oh. That wasn't my fault. It was not my fault.
But when he stepped on the bus, I loved his heart and I loved the way he loved you. He loves the people. He loves this music. He loves the Lord. But then I heard him sing this song and I knew this was the man for this season of the Guardians. It brought back some great memories for me. It's going to do the same for you. Listen to Scott Mullins as he sings, But Until Then.
My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along a trail that's winding away. gaze upward, this troubled world, oh, it's not my final home.
But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy.
Dim and lose their value when we recall they're just borrowed for a little while, and things of earth that cause my heart to tremble.
Hey, John, don't do that. Make the new guy do it. Scott, go. Scott, go get me a water real quick. I'm drying out, man. Hurry up. I'll meet you halfway. Y'all ever watch, you ever watch The Andy Griffith Show? I love it. It's my favorite. I named my children after The Andy Griffith Show. We have Andy, we have Breland Taylor, so it's B. Taylor. We have Emma after Emma Watson. We have two dogs, Barney and Ellie. So what an honor it is to stand on the stage with Goober.
Six-year-old Theodore Roosevelt Jr. was the oldest man deployed in the landings on D-Day. Roosevelt was a brigadier general and the son of former President Teddy Roosevelt. He repeatedly made verbal requests to be a part of the first landing wave, which were denied by high command. He then made a written request citing that his experience and direction would be good for many of the soldiers seeing combat for the first time His request was then reluctantly approved. He was one of the first to land on Utah Beach. Armed only with a pistol and his walking cane, he carried out reconnaissance and began directing his forces under heavy enemy fire. After the war, many of the men under his command recalled his calm and humorous demeanor as having inspired them to push forward. Despite the intense enemy fire, he repeatedly led groups from the beach, over the seawall, and established them inland. He received the Medal of Honor for his actions that day. Sadly, he died just 1 month later from a heart attack.
If you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Family, and Freedom Handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called Can You Find God in D.C.? I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us, as would be indicated there on the screen.
Andrew Phipps has been part of the WHMB television family for decades now, and as the general manager of the station for the past 28 years, I've had the chance to get to know Andrew quite well. Needless to say, I was very excited when I heard Andrew had written a new book titled It's Always a Struggle, But. This new book sums up Andrew's life story, written in a way that only Andrew can tell, from early survival and great loss to eventual success and many aspects of his life. Andrew Phipps, an award-winning educator, speaker, and broadcaster, takes readers on a personal journey. This journey shows how a second chance, along with unwavering faith and hard work, changed the course of his life and can change yours. Each page in Andrew Phipps' new book, It's Always a Struggle, But, brings valuable life lessons, homespun humor, inspiration, Christian principles, and a reminder to never lose sight of the transformational power of God in our daily lives. The book will remind you to be grateful for all things and to see the hand of God in all opportunities that surround us in every season of life. Remember, It's Always a Struggle, But, by Andrew Phipps.
To place your order for It's Always a Struggle, But, simply visit Andrew's website at phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org. Order your copy today.
Let me remind you that we do have a website, Phipps Faith, Family, and Freedom. When you visit that, you can see about our book, It's Always a Struggle, But, and you can order it through that means. Secondly, it gives you an idea of what we're all about. You can tell a little bit about us that way, and we try to speak wherever we can to fundamental churches, and so if we would ever thought of in the capacity of maybe speaking in your area, that truly indeed would be an honor. We try to have things that are of interest. It's been my pleasure, it's been my privilege and a great priority to meet some of the top people in church work, some great preachers, singers, some outstanding public servants, and the list just goes on and on. A few years ago, down in around Butler, Tennessee, I was with Pastor Leonard Fletcher, and Larry Brown from North Augusta, Georgia, was there. And Larry has since passed and gone on to his reward, but he was quite a hoot. You could not be around the guy and not enjoy him. He could be funny, but yet in the same time element, he could be serious and tell you some wonderful truths. I appreciated him, and I appreciate him and the legacy that he left. Let's enjoy a little visit today with the late Pastor Larry Brown.
A good preacher at it. I have not been the most experienced preacher at it. I have not been the most professional at it. I've not been the best pastor you could go out there and find. But I want to tell you this. I have found out that he is precious. And as long as he is precious, I don't have to be a whole lot. He is everything. He is my I am. He is is my great God. He is altogether lovely. He is everything I need. He is, praise God, and always will be. Somebody holler amen.
Moses was a holy man of God, you see, going about his daily tasks just like you and me. He sought the Lord for 40 years, and this is what he found, that in God's presence he was standing on holy ground.
I'm standing on holy ground,
oh, I'm standing on holy ground, we're perfect peace and joy are in our found.
There with
his glorious peace all around, in God's presence I'm standing on holy ground. Upon God's word, talked to God so many times this he never heard. When God spoke from the burning bush, saying, "It's the Lord you found," so take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground.
I'm standing on holy ground.
Oh, I'm standing on holy ground. We're perfect peace and fellowship.
Some important subjects here on this program, Faith, Family, and Freedom. And the next segue that we have will be about doctrine, or maybe church doctrine. Some churches say they don't emphasize doctrine. Well, if you think about it, no emphasis upon doctrine becomes your doctrine, the idea that you don't try to specify what you believe. I don't think that's good. I think we ought to be able to tell our people what we believe about the way of salvation, whether or not we agree with the inerrancy of Scripture, about the deity of Christ, about his death, burial, and resurrection. How does one become a Christian? The Bible gives us a lot of evidence that it's certainly not by works or the deeds of the law, but the Bible says in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So doctrine as to what you believe about it, whether it's eternal security or premillennialism, all of those things are very important. And I believe this segue that we have will do a good job in bringing further lucidity to these important things. Let's take a look at church doctrine. As I travel to speak in many locations around the country, I'm finding that more and more people in general are becoming less interested in what is called doctrine. They either have doctrine that's called by a name, or they think that doctrine is a waste of time, or doctrine is too difficult to learn. And it stands to reason that some have felt this way because they found that a doctrine, no matter what is instated, will invariably, it will require some study and thought. Some stand away because they know that doctrine will most likely require something from them. What is doctrine? Doctrine is simply a set of beliefs that represents perceived truths about something held by any group or individual, political, educational, and religious groups, to name a few, are all held to particular doctrines. For the purpose of this brief church discussion, I want to focus on doctrine in general. The Scottish theologian Sinclair Ferguson said, "The conviction that Christian doctrine matters for Christian living is one of the most important growth points of life." What was he, the Christian, saying about the Christian life? He was stating that in order for Christians to have a reason for their faith, they must know what they believe and why they believe it. The idea that Christ came as a baby in a manger is an example of church doctrine. It is one of the most basic beliefs that a Christian must have. As Christ went to the cross to die for sinners, this is another of the most basic beliefs of the Christian faith. Many doctrines exist in the church, but they are not so difficult. They are good in that they teach us what is true about our Christian faith, what is central to our Christian faith, and they teach us what thoughts are in error. So during this time of year, it is important to note that everything we believe to be true about Christ, the crucifixion and resurrection, has come down to us. And we, as a church, find that all of this doctrine, instead of being difficult, being dry, or being distasteful, is an amazing comfort to us, and we would not trade this knowledge for anything in the world. It has been stated, you cannot unify a church on any other foundation than agreement on sound doctrine. Simply stated, it is church doctrine that allows us to know we share a set of common beliefs, and around these beliefs, we move forward together in close agreement and fellowship. Let's hold firm to the doctrines of our faith and teach the younger generations who are also following us. The Lord said very clearly in the book of St. John 14:6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." We certainly need to have the truth of the gospel and of the Bible. I believe the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, I believe it liberates us. I believe it illuminates us, and I believe that it gives us satisfaction in knowing that we can know without any shadow of doubt that we've been saved, born again, ready to go to heaven. And it's not by anything that I've done, by being on a television program or somebody hearing my voice somewhere. It's simply by trusting, by faith, believing, doing nothing on your own other than taking God at His word and saying, I'm going to depend on that. I know I'm a sinner. I know I've sinned and come short of the glory of God, but all of my hope is anchored in the blood of Christ. I ask Him to forgive me of my sins to the best of my ability, and I'm going to rely upon that. So I hope today that these kinds of programs will be further enhancement for you, that they'll help us to have the right perspective, which is so important. Remember, we have a website. We have a new book out. We certainly would also appreciate coming into your area. Thank you that you would join us today. If you feel this program is worthy, tell others about it. We would appreciate that. But until the very next opportunity, this is your friend, Andrew Phipps, saying, have a great day. God bless you.